Good evening, everybody. Thank you all that can make it and all those that are on Facebook there. I hope I can do this passage justice, and we'll just start with the prayer tonight. Dear Lord in heaven, thank you for this day, and thank you for all the many wonderful blessings you've given us, and just thank you for this time that we get to come together and worship you, dear Lord, that we can just study into your words and get your message in its purest form, dear Lord, and pray that you'd be with me to help share these words in the best of my ability. And just now I pray. Amen. Tonight we will be in the book of Acts, chapter 7, starting in verse 54. We're going on with this story of Stephen that Jamie introduced a couple weeks back, and Bradley elaborated on of Stephen when he got charged with blasphemy. In little context here, in chapter 7, verses 1 through 50, leading up to 54, Stephen, he got his chance to his kind of rebuttal. To take the council back through a history lesson describing all the times that their fathers and their ancestors and their family had persecuted all of these apostles and all of these what's the word I'm looking for there? All of God's people and Jesus as well. In verses 51 through 53, Stephen turns around and accuses the people that accused him. He accused them of the same thing of what their fathers did. We'll go ahead and read verses 51 through 53, and then we'll get to the main passage for tonight. It says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, and which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing in the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." I like to go through this and break it down verse by verse. It tends to help me dissect these passages and kind of get deeper into what the meanings of some of this is. And verse 54, after Stephen had accused his accusers, this really dug into them. They were really offended by it. It says that it cut to their heart. You know, what's that saying is that he was accusing them. You know, they were strong in their beliefs. They stood very firmly on them. And the words that they said, just it was almost a bitter taste, and it cut into them into a, not as in a physical, but in a spiritual way, it hurt them. You know, they were offended by this. These were the truths that they knew all their life, and they were being challenged by Stephen because of his beliefs of the Son of God, Jesus. In verse 55, it goes into mention that Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not the first time that it mentioned Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't a power of his own accord, but it was the power of that Jesus had given him, that God had given him. If you go back to six verses, let's see, where is that at? In Acts 6, verse 2, or 3, it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look out among the men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we appointed over this business." This Stephen being one of these seven men. He was noticeably different to the people that were accusing him. It even goes to say that he had the face of an angel. There was something different about Stephen, and these people even saw that. Going on into verse 55 there, he says, "Looking steadfastly into heaven, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Many times in the Bible it mentions Jesus being by God or sitting by God, but in this moment and this verse, it says that Jesus was standing in the right hand of God. I believe that in this instance that Stephen was in a place surrounded by all these accusations and all these people that did not have great loving feelings toward him, that he saw Jesus standing in acknowledgement and showing that he was there with him, that he was not alone in this, and that no matter what they saying, you know, he was in the right. Verse 56, we'll go on through. It says, "And said, Behold, I see the heavens opened." And this is Stephen saying this now aloud. Verse 55, he had saw it and he had pictured it, and now he's telling them what he had saw. And when Stephen told these things to the people around him, going into verse 57, they cried out, they kind of screamed to cover what he was saying. It was blasphemy to him that he was saying that there was Jesus beside God. They did not like it. They were yelling and they were covering their ears physically to not hear it. They were trying to do this to silence him. This was not something they wanted to hear because it was not something that they were familiar with. If we go to, further on into verse 57, it says they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord. They weren't walking towards him in a loving manner. They were running at him in a fierce manner, I believe in a threatening manner. It was not a comfortable position for him to be in. If you go into Leviticus 24:16, it says here, and you know, this is in the Old Testament, it says, "And he that blaspheme the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall surely stone him, as well as the stranger, he that is born in the land, when he blaspheme the name of the Lord, shall be put to death." I think that, you know, this being a Old Testament state of mind that these people were in, they're doing exactly what was said in the Old Testament. They were doing, you know, what God had told them or what was shown to them. You can go back into on that side. That was for the accusation. But back in John 16, verses 1 through 4, Jesus spoke these words of warning to his disciples about upcoming opposition just like this. And in verse 1, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you shouldn't be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things they will do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me." And "nor me," that was Jesus. They did not know Jesus at this time. And so Jesus was not, he was telling them this is going to happen. He wasn't saying there's a possibility. He's saying this is going to happen. And here we see that happening in Acts 7 with Stephen. Verse 58, we go into, says, "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul." I thought it was interesting that they pointed out the laying down of the clothes or laying down of the garments. For one, whenever they were stoning people, they wanted it to be a quick process. It was not a pretty thing, but when they would throw these stones, they weren't pebbles or rocks or 57s you find out in the driveway. These were stones. They were heavy. They were meant to do damage. The purpose for taking off the clothes, these people wanted to be more accurate and more precise with their shots. They wanted to They wanted to make their licks count. They wanted to end this man's life and do it now. So them taking their clothes off, and some of these clothes, you know, they were valuable. They didn't want them to be lost. And we see here, we're introduced to Saul in verse 58. They laid these clothes down at the feet of a man that either they knew or they trusted, but he was there and watched over their clothes while they killed Stephen. They trusted him enough to do that. Verse 59, it goes on to continue to say that they stoned Stephen. And Stephen, calling upon God, said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." This is seconds before he's passing away. You know, I believe he's, you know, verbally saying this. He's letting people hear it that, you know, even in this time of certain death, that he's not, for one, he did not say that, you know, "Oh, you know, please stop. You know, what I said was wrong." He kept going till the end that, you know, "My God is the true God. And this is something that it's important to me and it's real." He says, I think he was mentally and preparing himself to go into heaven for eternity. But what was interesting to me, which kind of, I think, to me, the first thing I thought in verse 60, when he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. But the last thing he said was, you know, and to me, it popped up when Jesus fell on the cross. It was like, you know, "Forgive them, for they know not what they've done." I'm not comparing Stephen to Jesus, but one of his very last words were, "They don't know what they're doing. And don't hold this against them, because they think they're right just as much as I think I'm right." He's like, "But they just do not know." They were ignorant in that fact. And in the word asleep here, you know, he didn't wake up from that. He was killed. He might have died physically, but he went on spiritually to his heavenly Father. But I think what's important here is, and how we can kind of relate it to us, is Stephen, in his time of accusation and his time of certain death, he died for his love of Jesus and God. He stuck to his faith, and he stuck to what he knew up until the very end. Most people I know nowadays, whenever they go out in their day-to-day life, they can talk about God, not have to worry about getting killed for it. You know, around here, I know there's other parts of the world where they're not lucky or, you know, not as blessed to have that opportunity, and they might have to gather almost in secret. But I think we really take that for granted day to day, that we have this opportunity and we're surrounded by people, you know, every day. You know, we're here three times a week. But the people that we spend the most time with, you think about how many of those people that you know don't go to church, that you know would maybe be open to talk about it, but we don't because of maybe something we're insecure about, don't feel like talking about it. But to think that he knew these people didn't know, and he knew what was going to happen if he told them this, and he did it just to share God's love and God's glory. He did it for the glory of God. And to think that we can't do that in our day-to-day life without, you know, we have such smaller risk, but such great reward if we do share it. Because to keep it to yourself, I think it's a sin in itself. If you're not out there sharing it to your friends, your close family, then you're not as good of a friend to them as maybe they're trying to be to you. If you're withholding that gift, it's an awful thing to think about in the long run. But I encourage any young people my age, young, like young too, but anybody, if there's somebody that you were thinking about, maybe when I was saying some of those words, maybe take tomorrow, the next day, and just talk to them. Because, you know, if they are a true friend, I think they're going to appreciate hearing it. It might be hard for them at first, but you know, that plant can't grow unless you plant that seed. But that's all I got for tonight.